In today's gospel, we hear how Jesus sends out his apostles two by two to visit the neighboring towns and villages, to cast out evil spirits, and to heal the people who are sick. And he gives them what I think is a surprising instruction, must have troubled them a little bit, and that's that they are to take nothing along with them except a walking stick. They're not to bring food, they're not to bring money or supplies of any kind. So does this mean that they weren't going to need food? No. Does this mean that they weren't going to need provisions and supplies? No. No, they would need food and other things. They'd need a place to stay. And the disciples knew this too. I like to imagine them leaving Capernaum and with just their walking stick, without the food and the supplies that they would need. Can we imagine that they felt a little vulnerable doing that? I'm sure. Where would their next meal come from? They didn't know. Where would they stay? What would they do when they got there? They would have to find that out. So days later, the disciples returned, having fulfilled their mission. They cast out demons, they cured the sick, and they didn't come back starving. They hadn't lacked anything essential for the journey. Why is that? Because God provided them. God gave them everything that they needed. So why does Jesus send the disciples out without the supplies that they'd need? It's because he wants them to know that God would supply their need, that they could trust him and be confident in him. This gospel always makes me think of some of the great saints of our tradition, like St. Francis of Assisi and St. Dominic, who founded religious communities of men and women who would literally live this gospel. St. Francis would send his brothers out two by two to preach and to minister, and they didn't get to bring anything along either. So they needed to rely on God's generosity, and they were fed. People would generously open up their pantries to them in order for them to be fed. People would open up their houses to them so that they would have a place to spend the night. They always had what they need, what they needed, because God was providing for them. There are some religious communities who live like this even today. I'm thinking in particular of the Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus in New Ulm. Those sisters don't go to the grocery store when they run out of milk or eggs, but rather they rely on the generosity of others. There was one time where I had picked up some things for them at the grocery store, and as I was walking through the grocery store, I remember walking by the spice section, and I just, without even thinking, grabbed the container of salt and put it in the cart. And then when I got to the convent, the sister who answered the door saw the salt in the bag, and she said, "Father, today I ask God to bring us salt." So God provides. God provides for them. And for us too. How worried we can be and concerned about so many things, not having enough in our life. How often we can be forgetful that God, our Heavenly Father, wants to provide for us. So this is why Jesus says in another place in the Gospels to his disciples, he says, "Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. The Father knows that you need these things. The Father knows. And he's going to provide for you." So Oftentimes in our life, when we experience poverty in some way, we immediately think it's a bad thing, or we presume we've done something wrong. We don't have our act together. But actually, there's something that's so good and healthy about our experiencing poverty. Why? Because it reminds us that ultimately, God is the one who needs to take care of us. That we need God. We need Him for everything. So this gospel today is primarily about the material needs that the disciples have, that they're told not to supply for themselves, but to allow God to provide for them. So certainly this has to do with material poverty, our material need, but there's many kinds of poverty that we can have as we too have a mission from God to accomplish. So when I go out in my priestly work and ministry, I try always to have my wallet and my cell phone, unfortunately. And, you know, sometimes I can't even drive to Glencoe without a sandwich. But I often feel unequipped for the mission that God has given me because I'm very aware of my poverty, not so much of material possessions, but my poverty of knowledge, my poverty of words, my poverty of heart. So when I go to visit someone who's dying or who's in trouble, I don't know what I'm going to say. As I'm driving there, I often wonder what I'm going to say. Or when I'm going to a reception or an event where I'm supposed to be, I don't know who I'm going to talk to or even sometimes what I'm doing there. Or when I need to have a difficult conversation with someone or when someone's upset about something, I often feel a lack of courage. So this gospel is so encouraging to me because Jesus doesn't need me to supply my own courage. Why? Because He wants to give His courage to me. And Jesus doesn't need me to supply my own words. Why? Because He wants to give me the words. This is something that Jesus says also to His disciples. He says, when you're dragged in front of the authorities and they're questioning you, He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need to say. So this gospel isn't just for me as a priest or just for those who are professional church people, but the gospel is for each one of us today. Why? Because we're baptized. This is actually what I love about our first reading today, which can be a little confusing to see the connection between our gospel and our first reading. Our first reading is very short, and it has to do with the prophet Amos. The prophet Amos, who was not a professional church person. He was not a professional prophet. He wasn't in a family of prophets. This is what he says to the high priest who's questioning him. He says, I was a farmer. I was a shepherd. The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Amos was a layperson, and God said, go and prophesy. Did Amos have what he needed? Did he have the training that he needed to be a prophet? No. Did he have any theological education? No. But God told him to do it. God gave him a mission. And so Amos had to trust that God was going to give him the knowledge that he needed. God was going to have to give him the courage that he needed. God was going to have to give him the words that he was supposed to say. And us too. Everybody, every one of us has a mission in our life. We have a mission with a capital M. This has to do with the vocation to which we're called specifically. For most people, that's marriage. Can be the priesthood or the religious life as well. But we have so many missions with a lowercase m, daily missions, this person that God wants me to reach out to, this person that God wants me to encourage or challenge, this person that God wants me to serve, give to somehow, this person that God wants me to reconcile with. You know, why is it that we sometimes can't get this person out of my head? I keep thinking about this person and their needs. Well, maybe it's because God is sending us to that person. But what often holds us back is our own feeling of inadequacy, feeling like we don't have what it takes, we don't have the words, we don't have the courage. It's good when we feel our weakness. Why? Because then we have to rely on God. We have to say, God, you have to be courageous in me. You have to give me the words to say. You have to give me the strength. So brothers and sisters, this is a really good gospel for us to hear. Reminds us of our fundamental poverty before God and how he wants to supply for us materially, but also in equipping us for the mission that he's given us, the big mission in our life, as well as the many small missions in our life. He's our Father in heaven. He knows what we need. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to leave us high and dry. He's going to give us the grace that we need. But he wants us to be like the disciples who are willing to take that first step out of Capernaum without food, without a sack, without money. He wants us to trust him. That if we say yes to the call that he's given us, he's going to give us what we need to answer the call.